Welcome to the March 17th, 2024 weekending edition of Silver Screen Previews. Happy St. Patrick's Day for all of you. We got 1 hour left. There she is on the other side of the aisle. Trisha Rails. Hello, Trisha. Long time no see.
Hello. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
I had my corned beef and potatoes and meat tonight for dinner. I am Irish, partially, so I did do it upright.
Very good, very good. I, on the other hand, am not, so I have to wear a fake tie.
Your ascot.
My ascot. Actually, this is the thing I used to clean my glasses, so it came in handy today. I put my other tie in storage because I'm.
You know, if this were a Balenciaga ad, you would be very much in fashion.
So. Oh, looks really weird. Really weird. Trisha, we're talking about Arthur the Great, which is in wide release this past weekend. And Mark Wahlberg has got himself a co-star that is getting into his mind in the dog. We both saw it. Arthur the King. What did you think about it? What's your review on this film?
I'll start off by saying I wanted to hate it before I watched it. Mm. And that's not fair. And I know that's not fair. But I just... Another Mark Wahlberg movie. he's not really known for making... I mean, he's made some good movies. Don't get me wrong. But lately, he's just... I think he'll take whatever they give him. And that's fine. But I saw the movie trailers, I saw the talk about the movie, you know, and I was like, this looks like a Hallmark ripoff, this should be straight to streaming, not really something I want to watch. Mm. I was actually, last week, was offered an advanced screening to see the film, and I turned it down.
Oh, nice. Oh, you did.
I did. And then I found out that I actually needed to review the movie, so I did go see it, and... It's not a bad movie. I'm not gonna pan it. It's not a bad movie, but it's not a great movie. All right, it's not a great movie. So the story is loosely based on a true story about an adventure trailer. I don't know what you call a trail adventurer. Well, I don't know what.
It's a sports kind of movie where, you know, it's kind of like a survivalist thing where they're going on some kind of expedition. And they needed to, you know, upfront money in order to be part of this competition. And they're working in teams and things like that. And they're trying to win it. Each one is trying to win it for themselves. And that's,
and I think, a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And, of course, the film starts, you know, with a failure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Mark Wahlberg's character, Michael, he doesn't have any sponsors. Really doesn't have any teammates or friends. And so he's on this journey to gather the perfect team to get that one last race, and can't find sponsors, so he ends up, you know, cobbling together a sort of sponsored deal with strings attached and then throwing in cash and, you know, all that. But that's not really what the movie's about. The movie's about this ragtag little puppy.
Yes.
Not a puppy, but a dog.
A dog.
Street dog.
Yeah.
That enters the team. He follows them, he finds them, he stays up with them, and the story is really not so much about this trekking team, but it's more about the dog and how the dog, despite all odds, you know, this is, these humans are surviving things they shouldn't, and then you see what the dog survives, and you're like, okay, the dog really shouldn't survive. You know, the great news is this is, like I said, loosely based on a true story. Arthur really did exist. He really was a dog that existed. So if you want to take your family to see the movie, it's not a bad film.
Right.
It's something you can watch with your family. I think there is one F-bomb in the film. It's at the end. So it actually shocked me because it was so wholesome all the way through. And then that happened and I was like a little startled almost because I wasn't watching Snack Shack. Very different.
A different movie, yeah.
This was not a theatrical release type film. This should have gone straight to, I would have said straight to video. That really
straight to video,
straight
yes.
Straight to streaming. I think this was. This
I'll pay you my $4.99.
Yeah.
Or $2.99.
It's a good Amazon Prime, Hulu streaming type movie. Don't think this was a theatrical film. That being said, I don't think it was a terrible film, but I would give it a thumbs down. I don't think the $16 price tag is worth it for this movie.
Wow.
But I think that if you watch it on a streaming service in a few months, then it's well worth the time spent.
Interesting. So a thumbs down from Trisha Rails on
Arthur
the Great.
I know, you thought I'd go for it because of the dog, right?
Yeah, Bandit right now is very upset at you. I can tell. I could just hear him sneering at you from the side.
He's fast asleep.
He's sleeping. He doesn't even care. He's not looking at you and thinking, are you going to give approval for this dog movie? Or you?
I did. So after I saw Arthur the King, I won't lie, I did come home and I hugged my dog and like let him know that I did appreciate my dog. I do. I appreciate my dog. But yeah, not worth the $16 entry fee. Wait for it to come out on streaming and then, yeah, check it out.
Very good. So thumbs down for Trisha on Arthur the Great. I felt this was like two movies in one. The dog character, it works like another actor in the entire film, but he really doesn't appear until the second act. You know, the first act is hardcore Mark Wahlberg along with his team of Nathalie Emmanuel, who we know from the James Bond films, and Simu Liu, who is also very integral into this whole thing. Now, director Simon Kellen-Jones really ups the ante with some really nervous points in the first act that make you think, are these guys actually going to survive this whole thing? And the competition is tense. And that's what's really a plus in this movie. The zipline scenes are fantastic. They're really nerve-wracking.
That is nerve-wracking. I held my breath during that. I won't lie. That one actually had me going, oh!
Right. And the social media blasting aspect of this whole thing also has to play a major role. Now, the last 20 minutes of the movie are really what sets this movie apart. I thought, in my case, it brought it across the finish line on a positive end because I felt like, okay, I finally connected both the first act and the second act, and you gave me this rush at the with 20 minutes left, and said, yes, you know what? I like this film. I'm gonna give it a positive grade because of that and the finality of it, which, you know, there's not really too much to say. I'm not going to say much more than that, but it's PG-13 in wide release and in theaters. The only thing that I'm really sad about is that they didn't supply some kind of, popcorn bowl. Would that have been too much, Trisha?
Like a dog bowl?
Yeah, the dog bowl would have been the popcorn bowl.
I don't know. I mean, did you see the Dune popcorn travesty?
Still trying to forget about that, but somehow it's coming back into my dreams. It's very sad.
So, I mean, I don't think it would be that terrible of a dog bowl. I don't know.
All right, so we both disagree on Arthur the Great in wide release. Our second film tonight...
It's the King.
Arthur the King. What did I say? Arthur the...
The Great.
Arthur the Great. That's a different movie. Arthur the King. Our second film tonight on Silver Screen Previews is Snack Shack. I was going to say Snake Shack. But, Yeah, in this one, that's a different movie. In this one, two friends seize the chance to run their own poolside snack shack when they meet the lovely Brooke, the lifeguard. So this stars Connor Sheary, Gabriel LaBelle, and Mika Abdallah, directed by Adam Ramier. Here's a clip from Snack Shack right here on Silver Screen Previews. the days of puberty strike in Snack Shack, rated R for its comedic and sexual undertones. Trisha Rails, what is your review of Snack Shack?
Oh, wow. This is my age group.
It is mine, too. So we can actually relate to 1991 in many aspects.
Very much so. So this is the summers I grew up in. I went to the pool. It was walking distance from my parents' house in the Midwest, where I grew up.
Very nice.
I didn't grow up in Nebraska. Grew up in Central Illinois. Same difference, right? Corn.
Yeah.
So, grew up in a cornfield. And so I definitely could relate to the sentiment of time frame. You know, of course, there's a lot of callbacks to 91. I mean, like, especially, like the Desert Storm, the Gulf War, the Yellow Ribbons. It's also a time before cellular phones, the internet, email.
Yes.
You know, so this is a very coming of age. I know, I almost feel cringy saying coming of age because that's such an overused term in films, but it really is, truly.
It's true.
A coming of age movie that the Generation Xers we can relate to because this is our childhood. This is what we grew up with. You know, there is no texting, and the gross.
We were the last generation. We were the last generation, Trisha, before we got overwhelmed.
Technology.
Technology.
And it's interesting too because we are the MTV generation, right? So that's we right. were considered the great failure. Oh. Look at us now.
I love those videos. Still miss them.
If you did something stupid,
yeah,
it wasn't cataloged and posted online, and your mistakes were allowed to be just that, mistakes.
Exactly. You're human. You make mistakes. Everybody does.
Right? Yeah. So we have, you know, these two characters, AJ and Moose, who that to me was a little bit of a stress. Both boys are in their 20s playing 14-year-olds. It felt a little. Now, I will say, in the 90s, I think kids did look older than they do now, but I wasn't quite buying the fact that those two are 14.
No, that guy looked like at least like 19, 20 or something, at least.
I'm like, if they said 16, 17, I could have gotten on board a little more with that, but that part was a little far-fetched. But, you know, it definitely harkens back to, you know, the Spicoli days. I mean, even her getting out of the pool in the red swimsuit, that's Phoebe Cates. I mean, there's definitely some throwbacks in there.
There is. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to spoil the movie, but, you know, it's basically about these two kids that want to be, you know, entrepreneurs. They're trying to figure out how to make as much money as they possibly can. Right. They end up getting into a lot of trouble along the way with some of their other operations that they've tried out weren't so great. Now they're in trouble, and so they decide to rent the pool snack shack and deal with the pool brats for the summer. And it's vulgar, and every other word.
Has to
but
be.
Think about 14-year-old boys, that's what they do. They're just, every other word's going to be, they're cussers, right? Like, you're trying it on. And every 14-year-old boy I knew in 1990s spoke exactly the way that they do. So that wasn't inaccurate. That was not an inaccurate depiction of a 14-year-old boy in the 90s. You know, it's got some really funny moments. It's got some really some heart-pulling moments in the third act. And I'm not going to say it's going to be an Oscar-winning film, but I also think that it did what it sought out to do. It's a coming-of-age 90s teen comedy where, you know, if you like Superbad, if you like, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, if you like Van Wilder, you know, those types of gross out comedies, this is for you. This is who this was made for. And I grew up in this time frame, and I felt nostalgic for the angsty love triangle, teen romance, embarrassment of all of it. And so I recommend it. Only if to say I recommend it because my age group was represented. So
thumbs up.
I say thumbs up. Go see it.
Thumbs up from Trisha Rails on Snack Shack. Trisha, I'm going to agree with you on this film. I just thought that they, even though there wasn't enough comedy in the third act, they made it more dramatic. Still, it's passable on a positive note because the aesthetics, the cinematography were done so well that you bought into it right off the bat. And yeah, the guys don't look like their age. And Mika Abdallah looks like she's older than them. Like, what the hell is she doing at a high school pool? What the hell's going on here? I maybe could have chopped off 10 minutes off of this film in totality, but it's all right. Like I said, slapball, screwballs, comedies. This has a lot of it at the beginning, but it kind of filters out a little bit. But it's all right. The soundtrack is awesome. You know, if you're getting to see something, you know, firsthand, you're going to notice the soundtrack. There it is. You know, it gets a lot of the favorites from the 90s, from the early 90s. It's there. And this cast, being a young cast, is very top rate. And expect a lot of things from these guys in the future. Obviously not together, but individually. I think it's important for Hollywood to keep promoting and keep getting, giving young actors a bigger break, and this could launch these actors into bigger and better things, hopefully in the future, because they're stupendous in this movie, and it shows very well.
Yeah, acting's great.
Yeah, all their acting abilities here, it's worth it. So go check it out. This is called Snack Shack, and it's rated R. It's in limited release, so check your local listings for time, show times, and places in your area. You were gonna say, Trisha.
In my area, it was a little hard to find, but Regals were carrying it limitedly, and AMC's had a pretty big schedule for it. So,
good info.
It's out there.
Good info.
It's out there.
Excellent. Very good. All right. So we both agree on Snack Shack. The third film tonight on Silver Screen Previews is American Dreamer. So, this film is not rated as directed by Paul Dechter, with Peter Dinklage and Shirley MacLaine starring. Phil, looking for a multi-million dollar home, takes an offer to live with Astrid, an elderly woman, until she dies. All right, so a lot of hijinks in this one. Here's a clip from American Dreamer right here on Silver Screen Previews.
Can you tell me about yourself?
Shirley MacLaine going strong there in American Dreamer. It's out in limited release, out a couple of weeks ago, but still out there. So you can check that out. Just check your local listings. Trisha Rails, your review of American Dreamer.
So I went into this movie blank. I didn't see any trailers. I didn't read any information about it. Mm. The only thing I knew was I was just going to watch it. So I did. I went in and watched it without knowing anything about the plotline, which was fun because I came in with no preconceived notions about what the movie was supposed to be or what even to expect from it. I had no idea what it was about.
Right.
And I think the most fun part of that was my distrust of the characters because I didn't know what was going on or what was about to happen because, you know, Matt Dillon is also in the movie.
Yes.
And he's always so good at playing a smarmy skeez. I don't know why. And so you really don't know. And actually, I still don't know. I mean, I kind of know now, but was he a trustworthy character? I don't know. You still kind of feel like maybe I don't know. You know, it's not about him. The show's really, truly about Peter Dinklage and Shirley MacLaine's characters.
Yes.
As they learn to, they get to know each other. And I will say that the script for this film isn't the best script, nor screenplay. I think the cinematography was decent. It was pretty good. There's a lot of screwball comedy in this that I wasn't expecting. It's very slapsticky. Peter Dinklage is very physical in this movie. The comedy, I mean. Physical humor.
Yes, I think he makes up for the rest of it, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. So that was actually, and I really like him. I don't think there's anything I've seen him in that I didn't like, to be completely honest. He's pretty much every movie that I've seen or show that I've seen with him, he's my favorite character in it.
Right.
And then it goes to say the same in this one, too. Shirley MacLaine is shocking. She's,
in a good way or a bad way, though?
In a good way. At the time that this was filmed, I believe it was filmed in late 21, early 22.
Yes.
She would have been 86, 87 years old. 87. She's 89 today.
Yeah.
And she is sharp as a tack. I mean, just
some people still have it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
She's phenomenal. And the chemistry and the character that she has that she brings to the screen. So, if anything, I would say it's worth the price of admission to see the character development between Peter Dinklage and Shirley MacLaine. Because, as I said, the script itself is kind of meh. The story is kind of, okay.
It's predictable, though. I mean, you could have said this about any kind of film in the 90s or even the early 2000s with the setup. Now, Trisha?
Yeah, it's very predictable.
Yes.
Because, like I said, I didn't know anything about it. There,
right.
There is a little bit of a twist ending.
Right, yeah.
And I didn't see that coming, so that was kind of nice when you see the twist. But the twist, in my opinion, was rushed. Like, it's almost like they get through the whole film, and then they're like, oh, wait, here's a twist, and then you're like, and then it's over. And so that felt a little, I don't know, it just felt a little baseless, like, They ended the movie in a way that they just sewed it up and shut it, you know?
Would you say disjointed is a word for that?
Yes, very much.
Disjointed.
Because it didn't, even though they were building to that twist ending.
Yes.
They laid the groundwork for it. They almost just kind of buttoned it shut, like, yep, here's the twist. And then the movie's over.
The beats in the film fell off in that point. And then you felt like it was something that was strange coming on, unexpected, but it wasn't a good thing, was it?
Well,
hmm.
I mean, I can't answer that question
right,
without
can't.
Giving away,
right?
Right,
but...
So...
yeah.
But
I know.
Do I like the movie? I did, I liked the movie, but again, only because of the scenes between those two. The rest of the movie is kind of junk. I mean, honestly, like, the story is not that great. So I struggle on my review, right? This is where I struggle because I do think that it's worth it to see it for those two, because they are the only reason to watch.
Right.
But the story alone, if you were to replace those actors and put different actors in those characters, would be terrible. I don't think the story's that great.
That's actually a very good point there, Trisha, because I think that they had to put in some really strong actors like Peter Dinklage and like Shirley MacLaine, or else this movie would have been DOA. I mean, you're talking about, you know, an Academy Award nominee winner, and Peter Dinklage, who's had a long history already in the movies.
Multitude.
So it's not like he is just coming off, you know, acting school, or she's just coming off from the pasture. No, you got top flight talent here, you know, and that's why
top flight talent for a subpar script. So the movie works, but I think that's why it works. So I struggled with this one. I have been back and forth all weekend on how
all right.
I'm
final verdict. I'll put you on the spot like I did Leah last week or for the Oscars thing.
Final verdict is a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Because Shirley MacLaine, only because Shirley MacLaine worked her ass off, and so did Peter Dinklage in this movie.
Yeah.
But other than that, it would have been a thumbs down. If it hadn't been her, it would have been a thumbs down. But because I think she is worth it, I think she's worth watching this performance. That's the only. So it is a very hesitant, very small thumbs up, but it is a thumbs up.
All right, so excellent. Very good. A thumbs up from Trisha Rails on American Dreamer.
Begrudgingly.
I, on the other hand, will give this film a thumbs down, and I'll tell you why. I have multiple reasons. First of all, it's bad editing. This movie is not the way it should be. It's very disjointed, as I mentioned before. Dinklage's character is too unlikable with a dash of likable, when it should have been the other way around. And I would have
I agree with that.
I would have made Shirley MacLaine the bad guy, along with her daughter. You know, the one in the scene there, played by Kimberly Quinn, I would have made them the bad guys and made Peter Dinklage's character the sympathy figure, even though he wants to be greedy and he wants to have his own mansion. He wants to have all these things in life. I thought that Matt Dillon's scenes with Dinklage were very funny. They actually were, they had good chemistry going, and that's very rare. It shows the expertise of the acting ability of Matt Dillon meshing with Dinklage's. And I think on a lesser note, it's very bland and unsatisfying in the second act to really give this movie a passing grade. And to that, it fell short. It fell short, even though you have top-rate actors here. And that's sad, because I thought it could have been a lot more than we got. It's just a product of bad writing once again. I can't give it a passing grade because of that.